Welcome back to the Language of Behavior podcast. We're so excited that you are joining us once again. I have Charlie Peck with me, as I always do. Typically, we are solo unless once a month we have a guest. And this time we are coming together to talk about a very special question that we got, and one that I think is very timely, as usual, Charlie. I think it's really important for our listeners to be able to throw things at us, what's going on in their world. And I know right now it's kind of stressful. So are you feeling any stress right now?
You know, right now in this moment, being here with you, no. Yeah. There's a lot going on.
Good answer. Well, right. We do have a lot going on. I mean, behind the scenes, I know for myself, I'm preparing for a trip to Florida. I get to speak in front of a brilliant special education group called SEDNET, and I'm so excited to be there. Brad Wade is going to be there with us, so that's going to be awesome, and excited to do work in that beautiful state and to be there. Charlie, I know you're constantly working. I know you have a lot of things coming up, so anything coming up in your world?
Yeah, there's a lot. First of all, we've got the virtual summit coming up April 30th. I can't wait for that. I've got the Thrive Conference right before. They gathered a lot of people there, so the night before April 29th. Got Ohio, Vegas will be coming up, Virginia, Connecticut, Georgia. There's some stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And we keep teasing things out, but we've got a special project that we have been working on behind the scenes too, that you just need to keep with us, because we're going to tease that out as we go on. But yeah, we got some exciting things. We'll talk more at the end of the show about the free Student Behavior Summit. So stick with us for that information, because you're not going to want to miss us, especially during the spring as we see more behaviors occur. I mean, we're going to be talking more about the system. So it's going to be an awesome event. So let's jump in, Charlie. I have this question from a listener. It says, as you know, in the spring, so much is occurring both at home and on the campus. How does stress impact our performance?
Well, the first thing that comes to me is it narrows performance. So when the stress rises, the brain shifts, right? And so we get out of that prefrontal cortex where we need to make decisions and plan and communicate well. Like everything just gets boggled down, right? And so when we're trying to reason or use judgment, we're not able to do that when stress is flooding us, especially if it's chronic. When it's chronic, it really has a long-term effect. But even just in that moment, it shifts that working memory and that attention away and that decision-making away from the capacity that we have to make the decisions we need to make or have the performance we need. What are your thoughts?
First thing that came to mind is, you know, if we're thinking about the home and the campus, and I'm feeling this right now, like springtime, I feel like most of my children are in some type of event or there's some type of thing going on at the school and I can't balance it all. But I think a lot of folks are probably frustrated right now because I think the balance of home and work is not really a thing. Like, I don't think that actually is something that can happen. And so I would like to like throw that out the window because I think if that is our expectation, we're only going to continuously be frustrated, which is going to add to the stress level that is already occurring within the brain, like you're talking about. So Charlie, I would love for you just to talk about just the effects. If our educators that are listening right now are in month three of just constant chronic stress, both at home and at work, and they don't have a break from that, what's occurring maybe in the brain and the body, as we talk about this a lot in our presentations?
Yeah, well, our listeners are going to resonate with this easily. We get tired. I mean, think about it. If cortisol is flooding your system and we don't have a chance to process that out and have it go back and kind of dissipate, it's consuming us and it does have a physiological effect on us. I mean, it makes us tired. And so when we're tired, our attention's different. We get more irritable. Like, that's hard. And then everything, like in practical terms, we react much faster instead of thinking clearly and responding. And then that just, you know what it does? It just kind of builds on top of all the guilt and shame and pain and all the frustration we already have. And so our poor nervous system just gets overloaded. And I always speak in terms of the nervous system, because if we think about it as energy and what we're trying to put out there and trying to carry, it just is heavy. It's heavy. And that's where we react from, is our nervous system. And we know, like, the high pressure workplaces that we work with, the organizations, the schools, some nonprofits, and just all these people who are professionals just trying to do the right things, their performance is not always at peak. And they reflect a lot on that. And so the people we work with, Josh, they're constantly trying to do a great job. I mean, their identity is tied up with this. So it's important. It just affects so many other things. It goes back to our identity. And then if we don't feel like we're performing at our best, it doesn't help. I mean, in simple terms, I'm always like, is it helpful or hurtful? It's not helpful because we're just harder on ourselves. And then you talked about like the workplace versus home. There is definitely no room for balance. It does not work. I used to talk about this like years ago. There is no way, especially I will say women, there's so much pressure to have a balanced life, but it doesn't happen. And so then we just feel more guilt about not getting something else done. It's really about prioritizing. So that's what's happening. And by the way, this can all lead to long-term health problems too. I mean, there's just so much piling up.
Oh, for sure. It definitely affects the body. If you're, like you said, feeling tired, feeling run down, sometimes our immune system actually breaks down. And so we get sick more often. To your point, it affects the brain and some of the pathways that are connected are breaking down physically. And so we talk about that with our students, but it also is occurring with our staff. So, you know, if you're forgetful or, you know, you have brain fog, there's like all kinds of symptoms that occur based on that chronic stress that you're going to feel throughout your entire body.
Absolutely. And I would really like people to think of it like this too. Like what stress actually causes us to do, we're more likely to be reactive instead of responding the way we would rather do or escalate situations unintentionally. But then we have to go back and deal with what we've escalated. And then we've got to go back and say, I'm sorry, or just do that management of that problem. And if it's a pattern, then we just really feel terrible over time. Sometimes we misread intention if we're not paying attention, or if we're stressed, right? If we're tired, we're misreading people's intention. And then what does our brain do? It goes back to negativity. So we're making these assumptions that are based on big fat lies. They're not even truthful. And so we spiral. And then we forget the strategies that we actually have learned and can access. But the problem is this, our performance doesn't drop because we lack the skill. It's because stress interferes with accessing those skills.
So for our folks that are feeling this, right, and maybe they are feeling the effects in their body, in their brain, and they're like, I'm just going to keep powering through because I don't want to, you know, put more work on my peers or on my admin staff. I don't want to leave my students. You know, what are some things that they can do in this crazy springtime as we're doing our teacher goals or our admin goals? We're doing state testing. We're doing all of the events that we know are occurring right now after school, and they're feeling stretched out.
Yeah. Somebody just asked me this in my recent keynote, and here's what I said. Sneak it into your practice every day and prevent this from happening in the first place. Do rapid resets. That's why we have rapid resets. It's the getting into the environment in the first place. If you lead a staff or you lead a classroom or you lead a team, before you all start any kind of work, just assume, make the assumption that we're dysregulated or somebody's dysregulated or a few people, or I am trying to lead. And so if we do a rapid reset, that could be, you know, that finger thumb switch. It could be a simple breathing exercise. It's not for everybody, but if you breathe in 4 seconds and then out for 8 seconds, or you name objects in the room, oh, there's a green plant, a red pen, whatever. That right there is going to shut your stress response system down so that you can access that prefrontal cortex and start to focus. So I always say, get in there and make that assumption. If you're going to make any assumptions, because you will, your brain just will, make the assumption that you are dysregulated and other people are too. So if you're leading the space, you can control that energy by shifting them into focus gear right away. This is great for teachers. And then somebody told me like, well, there's this kid who constantly breaks down in class. And I said, there are always indicators that that kid is about to break down. So don't wait to the breakdown point, because they were like, well, it's this one kid. I've got 34 other students. I can't take the kid out. And I said, great. So assume that not only this kid, but other kids need to have that rapid reset in there. Do it before it happens. Do it before the behavior comes up and gets to that. It's got to be like incremental, like put it in there 3 or 4 times in 30 minutes, depending on your class. And it helps us regulate too. So rapid resets are always the first thing I say. Put that in there. They're free. They're easy, simple. And everybody loves it. I mean, and also then give them a choice around what that is that you're going to do, because there's lots of different ones. And the other thing is choose. There's lots of things, but I'm going to keep this simple. Yeah. Choose one thing, only one. Identify the thing that is just causing you the most stress, that's affecting your performance the most. and address that one thing in baby steps. That is the only way we're going to make change. It's got to be incrementally over time.
Well, and I want to say that what you're talking about with the students, we need to do for ourselves. You know, if we're feeling like we're on the breaking point, well, we need to make sure that we're assessing that and we're reflecting on, okay, what are the things that are occurring that it could be a trigger for myself, maybe is pushing me over the edge to be irritable. Because, you know, if we're talking about performance, obviously that's going to impact how we're acting with our peers, acting with our students, acting with the parents that are coming in, our community members. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're doing all the steps that you're talking about as far as emotional regulation, but we also need to know what's potentially going to be the tipping point for us. And that's going to actually tank our performance in the workplace.
Yeah. Let me say one other thing too. As you said that, this popped up. Mm-hmm. So, because it does go back to us, a lot of leaders, and they probably have asked you this too, a lot of leaders can anticipate that one staff member who's going to challenge, I know that you've been through this before, who's going to challenge them, right? You probably see it, that person in your head. And they're going to challenge you. They're just negative, or they just need to stand out and disrupt you because something doesn't mesh with the two of you. And so I always say this, go to that staff meeting expecting that. Don't go to the staff meeting expecting that it's going to go perfectly. Because then, and that kind of goes against some things I say about thinking negatively. It's not about that. It's about getting yourself ready, not guarded. It's getting yourself ready to address that in a way with compassion and an open-mindedness. Because I always say this, go in and say to yourself, that person might bring something up, and today, I'm going to look at it with a different lens. I'm going to try to jump in that person's shoes and see what's really going on. So instead of challenging them back or getting defensive, which we all would do often, I would just say, you know what? That's an interesting point. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? And by the way, that line right there, tell me a little bit more about that. It gives us more time to process what they're saying and to process our own feelings about something so that we don't jump into being defensive. And it also role models it for other people, because if this person is challenging you often, other people have seen it. Your staff has seen it. Even if it's a kid, you're a teacher, or you're leading a group, it shows them how to handle that so that we don't have to be reactive, so that we can like model that behavior of listening and just trying to adjust what we're doing.
Yeah, this is such an important topic. And this is something that Charlie and I will continue to speak on in regards to self-capacity, what you're talking about being reactive. These are some topics that we're doing some more work in. And so I'm excited to, you know, have that as a thread as we move forward. Now, I think we should head over to our next segment, which is Behind the Banter. So if you're ready, Charlie, we'll dive into that.
Got it.
This is supposed to be a fun segment for our new listeners. So Behind the Banter is just some questions about those who are behind the microphone. If it's with a guest, we do it with them too. But for today, Charlie, I want to know, what is something you said you would never do as an adult that you do now all the time?
I don't know. I know there's stuff. Okay.
Do you want me to start?
Please start, because I have 50 things going through my head. Go. I want to hear yours first. Thank you.
We drove a minivan for 15 years, and I said we would never, ever get a minivan. Now, granted, I didn't think we'd have 6 kids either, but we broke down and got one. Now, one went to college, so then we said bye to the minivan and got an SUV, but that was something I said we would never do, which we did.
That's funny. I said that too when I was younger. I had a Dodge Stealth at one point. It was red. It was like, it was a stupid purchase. It was so dumb. It was so
dumb. Yeah, but you probably look great in the car, right?
I was talked into it. Let me just say that.
Okay.
I was impressionable, and not by the dealer either.
Sure.
No, that's a whole nother thing.
There's a story there that we won't get into, but
no, yes. Not today. And it's actually not very pleasant. That's another day. But I did say that too. And you know, we've talked about this before. I love my minivan. I will probably have a minivan. Always. And because when my kids grow up, they're going to have grandkids, and I want to drive everyone around. And when our family, I got a large family of siblings and cousins and all that. And I want to make sure that we can all get there together. It makes the road trip more fun. I mean, that's fun. I'll give one that's not stolen from you though.
Of course.
I promised that I would never cuss in front of my kids. I always thought that that's, you know, not the right. I have. I've done that. And now that I've got a 13 and 15 year old and a 22 year old, but the 15 year old, he's like an old soul and I know he can handle stuff. So we can laugh about it because sometimes it's like, this is the appropriate use of that word right here in this moment. And then we can laugh about it. Anyway.
Sure. So it is funny. Now I will say that the minivan, I enjoy it because I know exactly when Charlie's coming to pick me up from the airport. Although I say that, but Charlie somehow scares me every time coming out of nowhere saying hello. So,
and I try to say like, Josh, I'm like, here, I'm here. I think you're in your phone trying to text me. I'm already there.
I don't feel like I startle like very often in my life, but with you, it happens every time.
Whoops. What's going on? There's something underlying that.
Something there. Scary person, Charlie Peck. All right. So let's dive into real quick the Student Behavior Summit. This is happening April 30th. We started to kind of tease this out in our newsletter, also on social media. People are also sharing it out. So will you just share a little bit about this event, why folks should sign up for free?
Yeah. Listen, this time of year, you're just planning for your next year's behavior, like the behavior planning, the district, the leadership, and you're dealing with a lot of stuff right now. The other thing that's going on is there's a lot of teachers who are saying like, I've had it. I don't know that I want to come back to this school. I don't know that I want to stay in this district or in this profession. And so we hear you. We've been working with people just like you for so long. And we've done something a little different this time. We're bringing in some people that you haven't seen before. So if you've been to this summit before, we're bringing in some new faces and some ones that you've asked for and you really loved who are coming in. So we're going to kick it off with Mimosa Jones Tunney. And I'm telling you what, if you are looking for true change, I mean, real change, you have to show up. It's at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be there because you've got to hear her live interview. All of our speakers are so busy, like they're industry experts here. So we're honoring their time and we're interviewing them. And we find that that is just so good for the engagement of the audience. And you can ask questions in real time. So show up. There's not only Mimosa, but there's a ton of other speakers that you definitely need to hear. What do you think, Josh? What would you add to that?
Oh, I was just going to say it's exciting because similar to our question, I think a lot of people are seeking information right now because as we know, when the year goes on, the last couple months, especially when state testing has finished, then the students are like, oh, I'm done. Like the school year's finished. And as we know, there's still a couple months left. And so, you know, our teachers, our educators, our administrators are looking for assistance with them. Also, our admin specifically are looking at PD for next year as far as what are we going to provide. And so this is a wonderful opportunity to learn some beautiful strategies that you'll be able to systematically implement for next year. And so you can start that planning process. I will also say, Charlie, that you know, if you're looking for some type of information in regards for next year, we have a free study guide, book study guide for you with our book, Language of Behavior, in the show notes. We won't just have the free Student Behavior Summit link, but we'll also have a link for bulk orders where you get a discount. And I know right now folks are looking at next year as far as PD, what they're going to do. And book studies obviously are a huge way of getting things off starting in August, starting in the summer. Sometimes they'll start in the summer. So if you're interested in that, check that out. Groups like SedNet that I'm going to be speaking with, they just did a bulk order. And so I think it's a beautiful way to get your staff all on the same page.
Yeah. You know what? I'm doing a leadership training in the summer. And so there's one in June and one in July. So the districts are putting on leadership conferences just right in their district. And they order books often. So if you're looking for something to do to supplement what you're doing for your leadership summit or your leadership retreat, this is also a good way. And our Connect Ed, they give us a good discount for people who do that in bulk. So just want people to know it's available.
Of course. We'll have all those links in the show notes as usual. If you need any assistance, if you have a question that you would like us to touch on in future episodes, you can definitely head over to our websites. Those links are in the show notes also. So we look forward to hearing from you and connecting. And with that, Charlie, do you have any last notes that you want to provide as we close out the episode?
Yes, we're talking about stress and performance today. It's important that we know that it's the entire system. Our system has been in chaos and there's a lot going on in the environment, and we can actually influence the environment so much more. It's actually in Tenet 1 that we talk more about that in the book, and we can look at the social and physical self. But I'm telling you, it really does make a huge difference, and it doesn't have to be too big. It doesn't have to be too big.
No, baby steps, like you said. So with that, we're going to close this out. We'll see you again next week, and we hope that your stress level goes down and that you're able to implement a few things to help you in this stressful time.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.